MENA Watch, der Talk.
Gerald Steinberg, you're a professor, right?
I am a professor.
So we don't skip this point. Let me, if you were born in London and you were raised in San Francisco, right?
All true.
And 1973, you started studying in San Diego, is that right?
Yes.
Physics.
I was an undergraduate at Berkeley.
Yes.
And this was graduate school, was in San Diego.
Yes. And after that, you made your master, and then you studied political science, ended with a PhD in 1981.
Oh, correct.
After that, you found...
It was politics of science and technology. I was doing somewhat similar things,
okay.
Nuclear weapons, satellite imaging, other things like that. So there was a transition.
That's interesting. And... then you founded NGO Monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So you did this parallel with teaching political science, right? So NGO Monitor, how come that you invented this idea, and what is it about?
In the mid to late 1990s, well, I went to various conferences and universities and various other activities. I had been teaching in Israel since 1982, mm-hmm. mostly international politics. Mm-hmm. But I remember very strongly going to Geneva. And I went to a conference at CERN, at the Nuclear Atomic Accelerator, the Research Center in Geneva. And afterwards, I was at the UN compound in where the Human Rights Council now sits. And I went to a session on, it was also where the conference on disarmament has its meetings, and I went to listen to people talk about nuclear weapons proliferation. This was in the days of Saddam Hussein still threatening. The Iranians were recovering there after the Iran-Iraq war, rebuilding the nuclear program. And I saw that there were these organizations handing out material. And then I went to another conference, also in Geneva, on landmines a few years later, handing out more material. And it was all about Israel committing war crimes, Israel doing terrible things, genocide even, to the Palestinians. This was already in the late 1990s. And I realized these are important organizations that set agendas. They participate in these different frameworks and really are very influential. And nobody in the political science world, nobody in international relations, was examining systematically what these organizations were doing, where their power comes from. Why are they influential? They're non-governmental, but here they are in very political governmental frameworks doing what amounts to anti-Israel propaganda. This was 30 years ago or 25 years ago. And that led me, then came the Durban Conference, which was a much bigger example of this. It led me to say, I have to start and examine this. I thought it was going to be a 3-year project. I'd do a few papers. Other people would work on it. I didn't realize how vast this was and how many organizations and how much power they actually have. And that's that led to this whole process of doing systematically NGO Monitor.
And now you are located in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
This is because of your...
I live in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And this was going to be a 3-year project that I was trying to do as an academic.
Yes.
Through the university. So it just kept rolling and getting larger. I think in every major country in the world where there's a lot of money going into non-governmental organizations, NGOs, sometimes called civil society organizations, there should be in monitoring, because without checks and balances and oversight, they become very damaging frameworks. Like anything else that has a lot of money and there's no examination of them.
And you do this parallel working at the Bar-Ilan University?
I did for a number of years. I am now past the age where they let me teach, because we have very strict retirement rules in Israel. And so I'm now doing much more of this, but I still also do university work.
When you find out things about these NGOs, what happens with the results of your investigations?
The material.
Yes.
The research.
Yes.
We're a research organization. We have a particular goal for that research, but first it's important that all this hidden material of what these organizations are doing, who funds them. When Oxfam, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International produce a report, 200, 320, whatever number of pages, and everything else, they do a whole press conferences. This is a big industry. And you need to, the frameworks that they influence, whether it's politicians, journalists, other academics, whatever it is, they don't bother to read this. They read the headlines. I very often will see journalists will write about the report that Human Rights Watch issued condemning Israel for starvation. It was Human Rights Watch and Oxfam, which did this, which helped the whole process of the International Criminal Court. Starvation. If you read it, you realize it's full of error. There are many footnotes which cite other Human Rights Watch reports or cite United Nations or cite journalists who cite people in Gaza. They don't really know anything. Sometimes it's just blatant lies, but mostly it's empty claims. But they're very damaging. People take them seriously. So we have to document this. We have to document so that when at least we can try to say to journalists, to diplomats, ambassadors that we meet with, foreign ministers, all those people, you say that this organization has done good work because it wrote this report, but we've read it. And sometimes it can be hundreds of pages, and this is what's wrong with it. That takes a lot of time. The purpose of this is to try to reduce the automatic influence. These organizations, let's take Amnesty International, which was founded in the 1960s, or Human Rights Watch, which was founded 10 years or so later in the 70s and really became a major organization in the 80s. They're completely different now. But the image that they had back then of small groups of volunteers who gave generously of their time for political prisoners and other universal human rights goals, that doesn't exist. It's all a facade. It's what we call the halo effect. That they say we're saints, and other people say these are saints. It's an industry. So what we try to do in this research is to be able to say to the consumers of all of these reports and pressures and campaigns, better be careful, because a lot of this is either completely fabricated or lies. Almost the same thing.
You do have some critics from different sides. Would you say lots of enemies, lots of one? Or how do you cope with
it? First of all, the good news is that people take our work seriously, because if we weren't important and didn't have an impact, why would you attack us? So in the last year, actually since October 7th mostly, but not entirely, German government stopped funding 6 organizations that were getting millions of euros, and in Germany there was no transparency. Germany, which talks about democracy, the government, that post-Holocaust, post-Nazi period, the importance of democratic processes, gives millions and millions of euros to NGOs, political organizations, under human rights, under this framework and that. Listen, you can't get a list from any German official of who they give money to. They don't know. They threw out the money and they don't keep track of it, which makes it very hard to do analysis. But when we did the analysis, and then the Israeli government said these are terrorist organizations, and we showed from publicly available information this is true, the German government had a big internal debate. The Interior Ministry against the Ministry for Economic Development, I've forgotten what it's called, BMZ, and there's something called GIZ. These are empires, multi-euro bureaucracies. And the Palestinian groups connected to terrorism were their best friends. Finally, after a big fight, the Ministry of Interior won, and they stopped the funding. The whole government said, we are not funding Chancellor Scholz, and the government said, we are no longer going to fund these organizations.
So this is very...
So we get blamed for that, which is true, because we started the process. Our research led the Israeli government and the German government to examine this seriously. It took a number of years. First, they said there's no evidence. They hadn't even looked at the evidence. So and something similar went on in Switzerland, in Italy now. So we are always blamed. In the Netherlands, one big organization lost its funding because of terror connections. Others have lost money because of their involvement in anti-Semitism. We put that information on the table. Members of parliament say to the governments, why are we paying for this? The government say, well, we'll look into it, or it's not true, and eventually it stops.
In Germany, this is a very new development. This is under this actual
within 2 or 3 months ago.
Wow. So, because I have been at a press conference for some years ago. This was the other government. Mm-hmm. And
Merkel's.
Yes. And on this, in this press conference, this was talked about, mm-hmm. about asking for just reports on where the money went when you go to give it to the Palestinian authorities. And they said to me, when I asked, they said, this is impossible. How do you ask about this? We don't do that. We cannot do it. And this is ridiculous, because I worked in the Deutsche Israelische Gesellschaft and we did apply for money, and it was a big thing when you have if you don't have a bill for everything, you have to pay back what you didn't count.
They look at the money, the receipts.
Yes.
And they look at the columns, money spent, money income. They don't look at the content. I speak to German ambassadors and they have no idea what the organizations, these are good organizations, we give them money. But they don't know what they actually do with it. We show them that these organizations say Israel is an apartheid state. These organizations contribute to anti-Semitism and hate and terrorism. And they say, well, we never saw it before. Mm-hmm. And that led to a big fight. I call NGOs that are funded by governments, first of all, they're not NGOs. Sometimes they're called FONGOs, foreign government-funded organizations, because they're not really non-governmental. Or GONGOs, which are just governmental-funded organizations. It is a very much of a mask for what is really political advocacy. And many politicians are part of that process. They've been doing it for, these are their friends, their subcontractors, mm-hmm. allies, partners.
So what are the challenges after the 7th of October? I can tell now after you've said that they cut off some funding. So is it getting easier or even harder to do your work?
There's a greater willingness on the part of some members of governments and parliaments and journalists to look at these issues and take our material seriously, which means there's a lot more work. But there's also, in each of these countries, there's a lobby. For at least 20 years, all of these governments, that sounds like conspiracy theory, but it's real. If you do a table, which I did, of the 20 top Israeli, Palestinian, and somewhat broader organizations that are based in Europe that have been getting money from governments. Every year they say they are doing a request for proposals. But it's always the same organizations, always time after time. And they always meet with them and consult with them. And you see pictures on Facebook and what they used to call Twitter, X, and of the ambassador meeting with their human rights colleagues in Israel or in Ramallah or someplace else, or even in Berlin or wherever it is. It's always the same organizations, the same people sometimes going around in circles. So they fight back. It's a lobby. If they have been working together with a budget of, let's say, 20 million euros a year for close to 20 years, they're not going to say, oh, well, we no longer can do this. They're going to keep trying to fight back. And we know that we see that in Switzerland, which is, I will admit that in Germany, I wasn't overly surprised I wasn't shocked that the government said that they're not doing any more money, because we know that gradually they have been looking at this, the process. My colleague Oberdeutsch has been in Berlin a number of times, as you know, and spoken to allies that sit in the German framework, getting this message across. But in Switzerland, we have very few supporters like that, people who will take our material and say to their governments, this is something you need to look at. And we were surprised. So now there's a very big campaign. They only cut money for 3 organizations, but there's a big campaign. They also realize that if they start cutting here, they're going to start cutting there. And because, again, it's a big industry. And nobody's ever done this before. Looked at them and said, you shouldn't be getting this, it's wrong. And so it is, in that sense, it's more difficult because we have to maintain and go further with the understanding that NGOs are not just wonderful organizations that automatically should get money for their political campaigns.
That leads to my next question. How many people are doing this work for NGO Monitor, and how do you finance this?
We are about 15 people, some part-time, some full-time, some students, some working mothers, others, but around 15 people, which just makes us a relatively small organization, but not tiny. And we are financed completely by private funding. We refuse to accept money from the Israeli government. We do not want money from any other government. At one point, a European official said, why don't you apply for our funding? You work in this area. I take the concept of non-governmental seriously. So our funders are largely philanthropies, family funds, others. About more than two-thirds, maybe 70%, comes from the United States. Another 15% comes from Canada, approximately. And then we have a few Israeli donors, a few European donors, some in Australia, and that completes the picture. We are now seeing an increase in the support we're getting from Israelis, which is something that is important. They recognize that this is important as any other element of the war, the political war that we're fighting.
Are you facing a lot of legal fights?
No. The reason that we are a research organization, every single thing that we have, and we have a website with 250 organizations, mostly in English, some Hebrew, some German. We need to spend more time on the other languages, but there's such a flood of material. So we have 250 organizations we cover. But every single line says you can go and check this independently. It's all what's called open source. It's all easily verified. That's why when I speak to some government officials from Europe and they say to me, well, people say you're wrong. And I say, well, why don't you check yourself? It's all there. And you'll see exactly that this organization has 20 people connected with the PFLP terror organization. The head of finance, the head of research, the head of operations are, here's a picture of the same people with the same names doing their NGO work, and here they are at an event sponsored by the PFLP or, in many cases, arrested by Israel for having been involved in a terror attack, which was one of the reasons that the Dutch government stopped its funding for one of these organizations. They don't say all the organizations have elements like this, but when it's very clear, they stop funding. So it's very hard to sue us because we just present the facts and we are very careful. We are extremely careful not to allow for any questions to be raised. If we're not sure, we'll say this is the evidence says this according to this website, but we could not verify it independently.
And last question, how is it your personal engagement? I understand that you went to some conferences and saw what is wrong, but in your family you were supported, and you do this now for how many years, and you have good follower, as I heard, which is a good way of leading a company, I guess, an organization, not a company.
I'm glad it's not a company. It's not something that I own, and other people who will follow will be able to continue and expand and maybe do better.
Yes.
I say maybe because but they will do better, because this is something completely new and something that I did on the side. Mm-hmm. But I started in 2001 after the anti-Semitic Durban, the infamous anti-Semitic Durban conference, with its NGO forum, led by Human Rights Watch and Amnesty. 2001, they said Israel's genocide, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, war crimes. This is 23 years ago. So I've been doing this now for, took me a few months to get it together, let's say 22 years. NGO Monitor has been an entity for about that long. And gave the talk, and about a year later, and somebody said, you need to have a website, here's a check. hired somebody to put a website together. Mm-hmm. That's how it really became. I realized this is something that could be much bigger. So the point is, that, to answer your question, it's been a long time I've been doing this. I did not expect to do it. It's become the focus of my everything outside my family, my professional life. And I do get a lot of support. It's something that, but I also have always been careful not to allow the professional part of my life to completely overwhelm everything else. Otherwise, I think you lose effectiveness and you lose perspective. So at least in my case, I tried to maintain that. Not always successfully.
Well, I'm glad that you came to this conference here with EJA and that we had the chance to talk to you. Thank you very much.
I'm glad I came, but I also very much appreciate the work that you do in your organization. It really is. I think the first German language framework that I ever saw many years ago when it started to
30 years.
That because we can't just have little bits and pieces and not talk to each other. Mm-hmm. So this is an amplifier. Mm-hmm. And we see things on your website and on Twitter and other things that you put, it's called X now, I know. On X.
Everybody says it, the former Twitter.
Yes,
X, that's the former Twitter. So,
and that way we know, okay, this is something that's happening that's relevant to us in these countries. We should see where the points of connection are. So that's each one of these pieces is like a puzzle. They're connected together. So your work is very much extremely important in that process.
Thank you so much.
Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost-Think Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns. Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost-Think Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns.